Hey. Welcome. First episode. Meanwhile, in Canada, on the Post It Up Network. Yes, the Post It Up Network. I'm going to say it one more time, Trevor. The Post It Up Network. Go check us out. PostItUp.ca. Yes, .ca. You know, I was thinking, how the fuck was I going to use .com or .net when one of our best shows on the program, on the website, on the network, is Meanwhile in Canada? So we went with .ca. PostItUp.ca. Once again, Meanwhile in Canada, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs. Beggsy, man. How the fuck's it going, man?
You know, life is pretty good. Obviously, the world right now is going through some crazy shit. Some heartbreaking stories about Canada on the weekend.
Yeah, man.
And my personal bubble, things are going all right, man. Things are going all right. My heart's hurting for other parts of Canada right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, there was a long portion there, all of March. Your heart's hurting for the whole world. And over the weekend, it kind of hit, well, it did hit home. And not to be selfish with it, but I just felt the pain for Canada, you know? I wasn't really thinking about any other part of the world. That sucked, man. Shout out Nova Scotia and best of luck recovering from that. Again, it affected all Canadians, but real talk, man, for the people in that community, and we spent so much time last week on Silky and part of this show talking about Nova Scotia and how it's so beautiful and how that's a place that I'd like to visit and how that's a place that you fucking love. You've been there before. And yeah. Just one of those small towns. It just embodies Canada. From a Google search, it embodies Canada. And to see what happened there and having that dude's a fuck, man. A fuck. Like, I got no sympathy for the dude. I don't care about what was going on in his head. That's some bullshit, bro. That's some bullshit. Real talk. That's some bullshit, bro.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, mental illness is one thing, but yeah, to the extent he went to pretend to be a cop was sickening, man. And
sickening.
You know, it's been almost 30 years since the most deadly shooting in Canadian history, and for the deadly shooting now to happen during this whole coronavirus pandemic, when people are stressed, people are strapped for cash, is terrible, man. And you know, there's no sense to it, and usually it's the states that gets these kind of stories, obviously, with the mass shootings. I was doing some research on Florida actually last week for the Quickie podcast. And apparently in Florida, there's so many road rage incidents with guns that they don't even get reported anymore. And that just blew my mind. Damn. Like, this is what happens in the States. And I guess it happens in other countries too around the world, even when they do have strict gun laws now. So, yeah, so man. Senseless, but you know, all we can do is really just shower Nova Scotia with love, man. Cause it is. I think it's the second most beautiful province in Canada. Maybe we even bump it up to the first now. Maybe.
Okay, so exclude Canada. Where would you put it in regards to the world? Because you've been to a lot of places, man.
Ooh, Nova Scotia compared to the world. To be honest.
Is it top 10?
I've done some beautiful drives. I would say the Cabot Trail Drive, which wraps around the Atlantic Ocean and through some of the beautiful parts of Nova Scotia. Man, it's probably like a top five drive that I've ever done in my life. And I've done, you know, 4x4ing in Australia and, you know, going through the jungles of Peru and going down the coast of California and drives like that and going through the Rockies. But yeah, the Cabot Trail is probably on that list. With those other four, I just kind of ripped off. Not a big deal.
Oh, man. Nova Scotia, yeah. We thinking about you. Things will get better somehow, some way. Man. Just motherfuckers out there, I'm telling you, yo. Telling you. Shout out Nova Scotia.
I mean, all you can really do other than, you know, keep Nova Scotia in your hearts and in your mind. Because you know, Canada's got to be a unit. We're a country.
100%.
You know, shitting on each other. As much as we like to shit on Quebec sometimes.
Oh, we'll still do that.
They got their own issues. Yeah, we're still going to do that. But Nova Scotia, it's a beautiful province. Just go give Nova Scotia your tourism dollars. I had a buddy who lives in Ontario, and we're always trying to get him to BC, and he says he's going east on his next trip.
Ooh.
And, you know, I wanted to be mad, but I can't because he's going to be going to Nova Scotia.
There you go, man. There you go. There you go. Spreading that love. Shout out Nova Scotia. We thinking about you. Shout out Canada once again. Meanwhile, in Canada, Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen, Posted Up Network. Off the top. Let's do it. I finally get to talk about this. The maple syrup heist. A little bit of a funny story regarding this. I remember being at a girl's place watching this late night. And she's like, what do you want to watch? You know, you're supposed to watch a movie. I'm like, yo, let's watch some Dirty Money on Netflix. And there's a little segment or a little episode called the Maple Syrup Heist. Real talk. That's what we watched. I'm pretty sure we watched it too. She probably wanted nothing to do with me. You know, we probably watched it. Crazy, crazy Quebec, man. Guess how much dollar amount in maple syrup was taken from this one factory?
Jesus Christ.
And this is from, I believe, 2017.
I'm going to go, I haven't seen it, I'm going to guess $10
million. $10 million, $18 million of maple syrup. Canadian maple syrup.
So it's probably like 12 barrels, right? It's just fucking valuable.
Bro, 270 tons.
Oh, man.
The maple syrup trade, bro. This is the shit that happens in Canada. We ain't talking about pounds of cocaine, pounds of heroin. We ain't talking about sex trafficking here, okay? We talking about 270 tons of maple syrup. Now, Trevor, be honest. Do you have maple syrup in your house, or is it some Aunt Jemima's syrup? What are you rocking with? No.
Real Canadian boy. Got the Canadian maple leaf on my arm, and I got real fucking maple syrup in the fridge.
Oh, shit, dude. My guy's got real Canadian maple syrup. Okay, so this is what I'll say, okay? I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever had a bottle of real Canadian maple syrup in the crib.
It's expensive, right? It's expensive.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe that was the reason why, but I just thought that that was maple syrup, you know? The Aunt Jemima's. Was I lied to? And why is it expensive? I know it's all natural and it's one of our treasures, but shouldn't Canadians get that shit on the low? Canadian maple syrup? Come on, man. Why's it got to be expensive?
Because I think it's got to do with the maple tree sap, whereas like normal pancake syrup is made with like corn syrup and artificial extracts. So you're getting the real shit from the fucking Canadian maple trees. The maple leaves on the flag and the maple syrup comes from the fucking trees, okay?
Bro, I'm tripping the fuck out right now, bro. How does that even happen? How do you get, you telling me there's fucking maple syrup in a tree? Yeah, how do they do that? Serious.
You know, it's actually on my bucket list. I got to say, not very Canadian in this moment right here, although I was kind of puffing my chest a minute ago here on Meanwhile in Canada. But I've never been to a maple farm. I know it's more of an Ontario thing and a Quebec thing. It happens back
east. It's all good, bro. It's all good.
On the beautiful West Coast. No, but my wife's kid. My wife's from Ontario. We've been together for, what, 6-7 years? Like, I should have gone to a fucking maple farm by now.
Holy shit.
I haven't been to a maple farm. I'm only like, you know, 87% Canadian. I got to work on that.
Bro, my guy's fucking apologizing for not going to a maple farm. I've never heard that in my life, bro. I thought you were going to say something deeper. I thought you were going to say something deep there, bro.
88% Canadian. Then,
holy shit. I don't even know what a maple farm is. So at this maple farm, you just go in there and you fucking sap some trees or what? Like, what's going on? Is that even the right terminology? What do you do to a tree? How the fuck do you get maple syrup out of a tree? Oh, you just use a hammer and put that nail in there, right? Or that faucet in there.
Yeah, you tap the tree and then they're able to, extract the maple syrup from the tree that way. Again, I'm definitely not an expert on how maple syrup is made. But when I do go to that maple farm, man, I trust you. I will have content here for Meanwhile in Canada. Because you got to make content out of that shit, man.
My mind, you don't understand right now. You don't understand. That's nature, man. That's beautiful.
It is.
That's why if you're on this earth right now, you blessed.
It's worthy of being on our flag.
Damn, bro. Damn. Okay. So I get it. I get why 270 tons of maple syrup, it cost about $18 million because there's a lot of labor that goes into that, I'm guessing. Getting all that shit out of there? Real talk? Maple syrup? A fucking treasure? One of Canada's few treasures, let's be real. People don't know shit about Canada, but they know Canadians crazy about the maple syrup. That's interesting. Okay, so they caught four dudes, okay? Should I spoil? I'm not going to spoil all of it, okay? I'm going to tell you about the four dudes and the first charge that was laid on one of the dudes, okay? Okay, so four dudes named Raymond. Oh, man, I'm gonna butcher this shit. Raymond Pronovest, okay? Raymond Pronovest, motherfucker. That's motherfucker number one. We got Richard Valliere. That's motherfucker number two. Okay, we got Etienne Saint Pierre. Honestly, sounds like a pretty dope dude. Okay, your name's Etienne Saint Pierre. You can be my friend. And then the fourth guy who got acquitted, John Lord. Now Richard, okay, get this, man. Richard had over $600,000 confiscated from him. Cash. Maple syrup? Are you serious, man? Should people in the streets of the West Coast be slinging this shit? Are you serious? Yeah. $605,000 in cash. And was also fined $9.4 million, bro.
Not worth it.
And some jail time. And maple syrup. This made international headlines, man. This is why we got to do Meanwhile Canada. Canada is just, it's just bizarre as fuck. I remember watching the news one time in Canada. Well, obviously in Canada, at home, Vancouver, Surrey. What am I saying? And I realized like one of the first stories in the first 10 minutes was this family of ducks crossing the street.
Gotta love Canada, man. Were those ducks chasing the maple syrup too? They might have been.
Who knows, man? Who knows? If you want to know more about what happened here, go watch Dirty Money on Netflix and go search up the maple syrup heist. All right, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's cool. It's intense, bro. It's intense. You got to think about this, okay? You've seen the food industry, entertainment wise, change. You know those cooking shows? They're big deals. They're intense. Now imagine a Netflix show on an $18 million maple syrup heist. Food. We're talking, this is a big deal. This is a big production. You think the Jordan production was big? This is a big production right here, okay? The maple syrup heist. I promise you, it's worth the wait. Now, Trevor, I got a question for you, okay? How does this happen, okay? I got the answers. I've seen the documentaries, I read the articles, but I want to ask you, come up with a scenario of how you would steal $18 million worth of maple syrup with your boys.
You know what? This is what I've been thinking about as soon as you brought up this story. And is it just like Canadians are so nice, so lax that they can just leave like, you know, millions of dollars worth of maple syrup, you know, easy to like. Okay. I've been watching this show recently called Money Heist, and it involves computer experts who are great at like taking down alarms and robbing like, I think they rob like the Spanish embassy or something like that. You know, this is maple syrup. This isn't the Spanish embassy, but I feel like you need someone to take down the alarm systems, you know, or find a maple farm that doesn't have an alarm system. That's your easiest bet. And then you just walk up, you know, get the truck with the nice soft tires so you're not making a lot of noise. And you just gotta get the fucking like four strongest dudes, you know, get them all cut to load the maple syrup in the truck. Like, what other way is there, man?
I'm
a real Canadian, though. I wouldn't be to go stealing the maple syrup from people.
I know you wouldn't, motherfucker. Okay, I want to give a prediction, but I already know the answer, you know? But I want to have fun with it. But I can't. My mind's racing. I could just imagine stealing a lot of maple syrup with my boys. I've never stolen anything in my life, but to steal that much maple syrup?
I'm stolen, wow.
No, I probably like a pistachio nut or something, you know, like, come on, from Superstore.
How would you steal a pistachio? Oh, like from like the
bulk section. Come on, bro. You know, we go shopping, you know, we trying to eat while we going shopping. Okay. Okay. But yeah, just maple syrup with the homies. I could see us pulling this off, you know, it'd be over time. I think I'm already saying too much. I kind of want the people to watch it, you know, I want you to watch it too. I don't want to spoil it for you. Yeah. You and Hannah, you got to watch this, and you may never look at your country the same, bro. Real talk.
Might not, man. I definitely won't be going to any maple farms at nighttime, you know. I could see some like haunted maple farm tours. I'm sure that exists somewhere in Canada.
So a maple farm is something a grade 3 class goes to, right? You get your parents to sign that permission slip. Hey, we're gonna fucking sap some trees today. I'm gonna bring you a fucking little jar of maple syrup, mom. Let me go. Like, what's going on? How come I've never been to a maple farm? I've never even heard of a maple farm, and I was also lied to my whole life thinking that Aunt Jemima's was maple syrup. Real talk, man. This shit's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's just one thing. You know, the West Coast, we got the nicer weather, we got the better weed, although now that it's legalized, maybe that's not the case anymore. We got the mountains, you know, but the East just has the maple syrup, man. That's just where it is.
Okay,
yo. Speak French, they got maple syrup.
give me some advice, man. Okay. What's going on with the weed situation in Canada? Where should I be buying my weed from? What's the best strand out on the market right now? Because I don't know if my tolerance is just high. Ever since I took that 1 month off, I've just been able to manage my weed dosage better, you know? But now I'm thinking to myself, I miss those days when I get super baked. And I've been trying. It never happens anymore. So should I be hitting the markets? Should I be hitting, what strand should I get? Should I be going to Indigenous Bloom? Should we give them a shout out, the first one to post it up network when it comes to dispensary? Hey, I got it, yo. They got one store in Williams Lake, top notch. And now I hear they got a store in White Rock, BC, top notch. Indigenous Bloom, yo. What's going on? What strand should I get?
Well, how do you usually smoke your weed? You usually smoke it through joints or pipes or...
Joints, man. Come on. Yeah, you know me.
You're a drunk guy, right? You're a drunk guy?
Yeah, man.
You know, obviously, I think the bong gets you more ripped.
Nah. See, like, I ain't doing that.
Oh, you just want the strain. Well, that's your problem, though, man. You might need to do, That's the thing. When you smoke weed every day, all day, you gotta probably do some edibles or hit the vape or the bong or something, man. Like, sometimes it's hard to just get stoned off the same joints over and over again. And also, my other question, are you an indica guy?
Sativa.
Or a sativa guy? You're a sativa guy. I'm a sativa guy too, but like indica does get you more baked. So maybe, unless you like getting super baked during the day, maybe maybe the evening's the best time for you to smoke that indica and just kind of veg out, do your thing.
Damn,
although,
bro. That's
my other advice too would be just fucking as soon as you get out of bed, man.
Nah, I do that on the weekends. Bro, I've been grinding, bro. I've been grinding. Don't get me wrong. I told people right now, I've been meaning to get really high, but every time I've just smoked a joint, I'm living life, bro. I'm loving life. Getting a lot of work done, chilling, creating, having fun. I don't know why I want to get super high, but I'm thinking it's because of my tolerance, maybe. I don't know. I just want to test it out. Am I smoking the wrong stuff? Am I buying the wrong stuff? Who knows? I'm telling you, the world changed when this shit got legal in Canada, and you just buy from all these different places. And now, since I've been learning more about the industry and each brand, and I mean, I don't know if they're just trying to sell us on it, you know, because now you got all these industries, all these businesses getting their own weed, doing their own thing, doing their own marketing behind it, pretty much like a liquor store, you know? So I just want to know what's really good. What's really good? Canada, what's really good? What you smoke? All right.
So there's one sativa strain, probably my favorite sativa strain I've found, both in smoking and on name. Get ready for this one. It's called the Alaskan Thunderfuck.
The Alaskan Thunderfuck?
Shout out to the Alaskan Thunderfuck. Now, it's a sativa. It's a very strong sativa. I only found it in one dispensary in downtown Vancouver, a year or two ago.
Damn.
But if you like your sativas, that's my recommendation for the best strain here on Meanwhile in Canada, giving Indigenous Bloom an Alaskan Thunderfuck a shout out.
There you go. Shout out Alaskan Thunderfuck and Indigenous Bloom. Smoke weed. I guess so.
Unless you don't want to. That's fine too. This is Canada after all. You can do whatever you want.
There you go, man. There you go. It's Canada. Okay, let's learn about that second language. We do this on the show, okay? Okay, are we cleaning the slate since this is the first real episode?
Well, I think we were tied 2-2 anyway, so it's up to you.
I think we should bring this back to 0-0. We should start it right now.
Good, okay, we'll do.
We about to run these French lessons. All right? It's going to be a lot of fun. Best part of the program, in my opinion. Let's do this. French lessons on Meanwhile in Canada.
You really think this man is speaking French?
Okay. French lessons on Meanwhile in Canada. Begsy Bowen, Posted Up Network. You know, we're trying to learn about everything when it comes to this nation of ours, okay? Including the language. Now, disclaimer. Trevor, he knows a lot more French than I do. He does.
Oh my God.
He does. His mom. This is after we made the fucking segment for the show, okay? We paid the producer to make all the music and stuff, okay? So we couldn't take it back. Afterwards, Trevor tells us that he knows French. But we got to do this segment anyways, okay? At the end of the day, we're playing till 100 or 99 or 100 or whatever. So I got time. Okay, so I'll give Trevor a sentence in French. vice versa. Whoever gets the English translation right wins. Now, if we're tied after one, we'll go to sudden death. And we'll keep going until we find out a winner. Let's do it. How about you go first? You give me a sentence first, because to be honest, I don't even have one in front of me. I'll type it up while you tell me what I got to
learn. Yeah, I can't say I know that much French as much as you want to talk about my
mom.
Don't lie, bro.
It's all good.
My mom taught me no French, man. My mom taught me nothing. Didn't want to learn French, had a bad attitude, and now in the adult years, kind of regretting it. But, you know, I think I got to step up my game a bit. I'll give you – well, no, I'm not going to give you a hint. We'll see how you do.
No hints. Are you ready for it? No hints. I'm ready. Let's go.
Pouvez-vous verser du sirop d'érable sur mes seins, s'il vous plaît?
Can I have some maple syrup? Now, Trevor's a little dirty sometimes, so I'm going to say, can I have some maple syrup to pour over my body for this beautiful lady of mine? Are you serious?
Pretty damn close, man. Pretty damn close.
Okay.
I think we're probably going to give you the point on this one. You had it all right, except for it was, can you pour maple syrup on my breasts, please?
Ooh. Okay, well, you know what? I said beautiful lady, and I'm going to assume this beautiful lady, not that all beautiful ladies, you know, need to have beautiful breasts. I'm just saying, I'm going to assume this time she has beautiful breasts, and I did that. Now, I got to say, we do have to run back that little tidbit that we had on the Canadian porn stars. We do. We have to bring it back for an actual episode. Maybe next week, who knows? Transitioning to today, the present moment. Is that a thing? Do Canadians do that? Do we fuck with some maple syrup? Is that a thing?
You know, I was thinking about this as we were talking about maple syrup, and obviously it played into my answer here on En Français, s'il vous plaît. I think you can. Why not, man? I can't say I've done it. I love to be the Canadian boys. Like, yeah, I've poured maple syrup on a girl's breast, but I don't think I have, you know? The chocolate sauce, the caramel sauce, the whipped cream. Like, yeah, those have all been used.
Wow. But, is it because maple syrup is so expensive, or is it because those motherfuckers stole all the maple syrup and you had no chance of getting some? What's going on?
It's two things, man. I think it's expensive and it's sticky as fuck. But, you know, sex can be messy anyways, so, you know, I don't think that's really a good excuse. It's probably just the expensive part. I'm a cheap guy.
Damn, bro.
We're podcasters, man. Come on, we're not rolling the dough.
Okay, you're not a cheap dude. You just don't have a lot of money. That's all it is. That's all it is, bro.
You're doing terrific.
That's all it is, bro.
I try my best.
There's an actual difference, you know what I'm saying? So, that's all it is, man. That's all it is. There's a difference. It's all good. You ain't cheap. And maple syrup on the titties and in the game of sex. I mean, I'd be down with it, but then it would be a problem. A big problem. Bro, a big problem. If you got some hair down there.
Both parties. I wouldn't be pouring it all over my body.
I'm not saying you would, you know, pour it all over there, but, you know, shit gets messy, bro. It gets messy. Yeah. There's no structure to good love. You know what I'm saying? It's all over the place sometimes.
For sure. You know, I think there's some value in the after sex shower, though. You know, if you're fucking in the bedroom, mm-hmm. you're fucking in the house, you have a nice shower afterwards.
Yes.
You know? Great time to do it.
Together. Yes. 100%, bro. 100%. 100%. I'm just saying that you can't expect to use maple syrup just for the titties and not think that you will get it in the pubes. You know what I'm saying? And even just down there, you don't want maple syrup down there. I mean, you may want it down there, but there are dangers. That's risky. That's risky, bro.
Well, as long as it's maple syrup, there's no risk. If it's Aunt Jemima's, you got a fucking risk. But maple syrup, no risk at all.
Damn, bro. That's hey, man, maple syrup, powerful. Okay, so I don't know if Trevor's going to give me that point. You know what we'll do? If you're not close in this one, I win. But if you're close, we'll go to sudden death. You know, it's the first one. Yeah. Okay,
Sounds good.
I got something here. It may be dirty. I don't know. Maybe dirty. Might have to fool you there. You know, some psychology. Let's go. Nous aimons beaucoup la nouvelle Écosse. Nous penchons et vous.
Penchon.
I may be saying that wrong because I failed French. So if you want me to translate this via the translator, I'll press play.
Yeah, well, read it one more time at the very least.
Okay, cool. Nous aimons beaucoup la nouvelle Écosse. Nous pensons à vous.
It's something like we all listen to music with you.
Kyle Bowen gets the first victory of French lessons on Meanwhile Canada. That is very impressive. I just want to thank my parents and, you know, my teachers who tried teaching me French, and my friends for encouraging me to skip those lessons because it got me to this point where, you know, maybe over the past 2 weeks, I've noticed that I do need to learn more about this nation and its other language. Maybe I've been training, bro, because I just picked up the win, bro. And that's impressive. You are part French.
I want to know what the phrase is, though.
I wrote, much love, Nova Scotia. We are thinking of you. You know what I wrote? I wrote, much love, Nova Scotia. We are thinking of you. And then it translated over to, we love Nova Scotia very much. We think of you.
I thought I heard écoute, which is here. Listen, okay. That was tripping.
Okay. You know what? We got to play instant replay. Let me just click this.
Nous aimons beaucoup la Nouvelle-Écosse. Nous pensons à vous.
Come on. Okay. Yeah,
no, I fucked it. Didn't get it right. Yeah, I got to take the L on this one. Like I said, I almost failed French too. My mom didn't teach me French, so no
what
advantage
a liar.
Here, man.
What a
no
liar,
advantage
bro.
Here.
Trevor
Ask
Beggs.
My mom, bro. We'll have my mom on the show. She'll tell you.
Trevor Beggs or Trevor Beggs on? I don't know anymore, bro. I don't know.
Trevor or Beggs on?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay, Kyle gets the win.
Cheers to you, man. Cheers to you. Great job.
You know what? I can't believe I did that. And you know what's crazy, bro? I don't know a lot of French. I just know that your passion for sex is off the chain. So I knew the first one was going to have to do something with lovemaking. And I never heard breast. I never heard lady. I just assumed. I just put the two together. I heard maple syrup, though.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And that's all you needed, man. That's just had to know my sexual nature and my love for maple syrup. And you got the W, man. Proud of you.
Hey, man. That's friendship right there, man. Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen. Meanwhile, in Canada, you know what? We don't have sponsors yet, so we don't have ads yet. Maybe I'll throw an ad here.
Indigenous Bloom is on this list. We're going to talk to Indigenous
Let's
Bloom.
Let's do it. Maybe I'll throw an ad here for the rest of our network. Who knows? Or maybe I can write up some mock ad reads to put that shit up in the universe. So eventually we get those. You know what I'm saying? Because I wrote one. Did I tell you about how I wrote a joke to perform in front of Vogue? Did I ever tell you the story?
No.
Okay, sold that show at the Vogue Theater, okay? There's this act that's going there called Kill Tony. And what they do is pull names out of a bucket from attendees, and they call them upstage to perform stand-up for like 5 minutes. That's their whole show. And after the person's done telling their joke, they just react to it, you know? And it's hilarious. They do a great job. It sounds absurd, but the way they tie everything in and their personalities, Kill Tony, great show. Anyways, I wrote a joke. 2 weeks I worked on this joke. This is a true story, okay? I'm ready to tell this joke. I'm pounding back the drinks. This is 2 months ago. 2 months ago, sold out show. Get to the Vogue. I write down my name, put it in the bucket. They bring it on stage. Name after name goes by, and we're getting to the end of the show. There's like 10 minutes left. My name hasn't been called up yet because there's a whole bunch of names. The last name gets called up. It's not mine. The person who goes up sucks. So Kill Tony is like, yo, we can't end on that note. We'll do one more. Okay? I swear to you, this happened. Kill Tony reaches into the bucket, pulls out a name, and says my name. But listen to this, okay? He's like, Kyle. But he's like, yo, Kyle's a guy. Let's bring a girl up on stage. So he throws my name out and calls a girl up on stage.
Oh, you were so close, man.
Okay, cool.
Are you serious?
Anyways, you could have been a pop culture icon in that moment. That was your moment.
Well, let's be real, bro. I'm not a stand-up comic, okay? I would have fucked up most likely, because that's an art. I can't just say I'm going to go up there in front of, like, what, 1,500 people? How many people fit at the Vogue? A lot of people, yeah. Okay? I was okay with failing. I just wanted to try it out and tell my joke. Anyways, my joke was about one of those boner pills, a blue chew. And I wrote a whole joke about it. How? Yeah.
What's the joke, bro?
You know what? That's what I'm saying. Maybe I have to throw in our own ads, and I'll do an ad for this company, even though we're not sponsored by them, just to put it out in the world. So eventually, we're sponsored by them. Who knows? You're listening to the Post It Up Network. After the break, we'll finish off the episode of Meanwhile in Canada by talking about the greatest entertainer in Canadian history. I think this debate is going to go on for the duration of the show, but let's start it. Let's start it today, okay? You're listening to Meanwhile in Canada on the Post It Up Network. We are back. Meanwhile, in Canada, Kyle Bowen, Trevor Beggs, Post It Up Network. Go check us out, postitup.ca, or wherever you listen to podcast, okay? Okay, this is the show. Bro, we didn't even tell the people what the show is about. We just went right into it. What's this show about? Canada.
Brutal.
Brutal. It's about Canada, okay? Trevor Beggs, Kyle Bowen, we want to learn more about this country. We want to admire this country.
And we want you to learn more about this country too. You're listening to this podcast because you want to learn a bit more about the great country of Canada. And we're not always going to pump Canada's tires. There's some bad that goes on in Canada as well. But come for the ride. Come learn about Canada with us.
You know, it's the first episode. That's our message. And I just realized that we told Canadians that, you know, I smoke a lot of weed. And there's this strand out there called Alaskan Motherfucker or something.
Alaskan Thunderfuck, yeah, exactly.
There's also a maple syrup heist from a couple years ago that got its way onto a Netflix show, which is pretty incredible. I'll give us an applause for that. Great story. And then we talked about maple syrup in bed. That's Canada.
Sounds like a great first episode to me.
That's Canada.
It's been fun so far, although I don't think we're gonna agree on this last part here, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, we're not going to agree, but I think there is an argument to be made here. Okay, so Drake, last week on one of our mock episodes that you can find on the Nux Misconduct Network of this program, I said that Drake is the greatest Canadian entertainer in the history of entertainers, okay? I'm going to say it again. Drake, the greatest, yes, greatest Canadian entertainer in the world, or in the nation's history, okay? I almost said the world. Who knows? He's still young. He's still young, yo. He's got a lot of time. Now Trevor don't agree with this. He's not even a, you know what Trevor is? I'm going to call you out right now. You a closet Drake fan, bro. I said
it. Yeah, no, that's fair, a little bit. I think my beef with this whole thing, and I'm sure you got lots more to say about this, but my beef with this is that when we're talking about entertainers and performers, I think of live performance. And I've seen Drake live, and it was probably one of the worst shows I've ever seen live. I thought he was absolute dog shit. Sorry, Drake. Sorry, Canada.
No. Beggs, man. Beggs. I love this. I love this. I love this, bro. I totally forgot that you've had this narrative or have had this story for a long time. So why don't you tell us more about this, okay? I want to hear this. I'm not going to get mad.
We went to, this is back in 2015 at a good old event that's now been canceled called Squamish Valley Music Festival.
Shout out Squamish.
We went for the day, and Drake was the headliner on the one day we went. And honestly, it was the only act I didn't like. And I don't know what it was. Maybe like we saw...
Oh, you know what it was. Tell us, bro. Tell us.
You sound like a dying rat. That's what it was. I mean, I don't know what else to say. We saw a rock band. We saw hip-hop. Like, we saw Chaos. He was a great hip-hop performer, and he was pumping up the crowd. Lots of like great electronic acts, great bands like Monsters and Men, Hannah Wants, Porter Robinson. Like there were some great shows that night. But we went to Drake for a bit, and he just sounded like a fucking dying rat. Like no energy, just walking around stage. And I don't know, there's something, you know, hey. I've gotten more and more into hip hop over the years, but I find like there's a lot of hip hop that it just isn't great live. Like the voices just don't translate. And Drake, I think, is one of those guys. It just didn't translate live for me.
And you know what? I don't blame you. If you witnessed that version of Drake, maybe he had an off day or something, he just not sounded right, or maybe he was being lazy, maybe he didn't capitalize on the opportunity, or maybe he just frowned upon being in Squamish, BC. Who knows what was happening on that occasion? I've seen Drake live, and I didn't get that impression. And I don't think it was the Stanism in me, you know, me being a big Drake fan. I don't think that's why I thought he was good. I just thought he did a good job. But if you had that experience, I understand why you would think Drake is not that great. Because, yo, live performances are everything. They are. Especially for someone like you who goes to a lot of shows, you understand that that is when you prove how talented you are. And I believe that.
Yeah, and fair enough. And, you know, you talk about being a Drake fan too, and you don't think that played into your bias. You know, perhaps like I wasn't the biggest Drake fan. I don't want to say I was this massive Drake hater, maybe a little bit. But we stayed for a few songs. I didn't stay for the whole show just because we stayed for about 20 minutes. And I was like, fuck, I'm not going to waste my night at this show that sucks when there's like three other great shows going on. Part of it was maybe he was only given it 20 minutes. Maybe he got better later, but I tried to give him a decent chance and I just didn't think he sounded good. The crowd wasn't into it either. Like the crowd was kind of nonchalant, you know? You went to other stages at that festival and the crowds were dancing, having a good time. And it just seemed like a Drake, like his performance was flat. And you're right, maybe it was an off night. It was the only time I've seen him, but I just wasn't impressed. But what can I say, man? He makes some catchy songs. And over the years, I've slowly, in the closet, I've joined the Drake bandwagon a little bit. But yeah, I can't forget that live show until I see him again live. So
100%. I think, like I said, if that's a reasoning for your displeasure with my argument, that's okay. I think live shows, they tell the story. They really do. They really do. Once you see a musician live, and if they can live up to the digital version, 100%, they're incredible. I agree with that. But yo, Drake, come on, yo. Drake's been around for a long time, over a decade. At the top of music, like once this guy dropped "Best I Ever Had," do you remember that song, "Best I Ever Had"?
I do.
Okay, so once he popped that song, makes
me think of this
up,
girl I was fooling around with when I was like 15 years old. Good times.
I was gonna say, do you think she's the best you've ever had? But you can't even say that anymore.
No, she wasn't. That's a great story, but probably for another day.
Another day, maybe another podcast. Okay, so Drake's been around for a long time. "Best I Ever Had" since he dropped that. And what is that? 2009.
Yeah, it would have been late 2009.
Long time ago, he's been at the top. Now, listen to this. Since that moment, guess how many times this guy has been nominated for an award? Just guess. We're looking over 10 years, 11 years, a lot of award shows. How many times has Drake been nominated for an award?
I want to say, you talking like any award show? Probably over 100 times.
Oh, 100 times?
Yeah. Just,
you want to give it another guess? I'll give you three guesses.
Okay, is it higher or lower than 100?
Higher.
Okay, I don't know, 300?
Higher.
500?
Higher.
Holy shit.
This guy's been nominated for an award 639 times. Drake, Canada's own. 639 times this dude has been nominated for an award. He's won 175 times. 175 wow. Times this dude has won. I think, again,
that's impressive.
Again, I think since he's been around for a long time and he's been able to pick up accolades throughout the entirety of the decade yearly, I'm just like, yo, there's not much like him. There's not much like him. And he's still young. Who knows? So I kind of want to switch the debate, and I think this is the way that we can keep this debate going throughout the series, is talk about those who are present now who could be the greatest entertainers of all time. Because obviously there are so many people from back in the day that we have to learn about on this program. And there's so many great Canadians that are right now in the market doing some great things. I don't think there's anyone right now more successful in his or her industry than Drake. Real talk. He's been doing too many things. Over 630 nominations, 4 Grammys too. I don't know how much awards matter in the world of music, but that just that's just a little taste of what this guy's been able to accomplish when it comes to the stats. I mean, we can go deeper into this shit, bro. We can talk about the billboards. This guy's matching up with the Beatles and beating the Beatles. Drake, Canada's own.
It's impressive, man. And
the Beatles.
Yeah. I wonder.
What does he say in the song? He goes, back home smoking legal. I got more slaps than the Beatles.
Yeah, I guess it's how much of maybe this is throwing a lowball, man. But how much of Drake's own music do you think he writes? So I've definitely heard rumors and other rappers have tossed around like, oh, he gets ghostwriters and this and that.
Yeah.
How much do you think is true about him writing his own songs?
I think this is where I don't really give a fuck if people are writing his music, because I'm not really that in tune with how hip hop should work, because I caught on so late. You know, I don't get the tradition or what really matters when it comes to who is on a song. I mean, we've seen it throughout the history. There's been so many ghostwriters. You know, the way I listen to music, I don't really give a fuck if the artist writes it. But I do understand the argument where, you know, that does matter, especially in the world of music, especially in something that is so sentimental. And let's be real, bro. We've listened to so much music in our day. The best music is often or not written by the person performing it. I'll say that. And I'll say this too. Out of all of Drake's songs, I don't know how many of them I would put in my top five songs of all time. I even thought about this when it comes to hip-hop albums or just albums in general. I was like, if I made a top 10 list, there may be one Drake album on there. When I say what I say about Drake, I just respect the fact that he's been around for so long at the top. That's hard to do. It's not that he's been around. It's not that he's been in the middle or like a top 30 rapper, top 40 rapper. When this guy broke in, he rookie of the year. So when you're rookie of the year, you're in the top 10, top 15. You're in that top echelon. After that, bro, this guy just sat in the top three the whole time. Top three, and now he's been one forever. So it's just more of me respecting the longevity. And Begsy, like, we've watched sports, bro. It's not easy being at the top in any industry, and something as competitive as like music or sports over 10 years, bro, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's hard to ignore, man. I guess my only beef is that when we're talking about, you know, the greatest entertainer, greatest performer of all time, like, I just want them to earn that label, you know? If you're not producing and writing your own music, like, what the hell are you doing other than being a puppet? Maybe that's just my own bias, man. That's how I look at it.
Dude, don't sugarcoat it, man. Just go in. Like I said, bro, I understand that argument. I just got to be honest with you. I came into appreciating music at, what, the age of, like, 22, 21, you know? So I don't give a fuck. I don't understand the history of music too much, so.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people feel that way too, right? Like, especially nowadays, like, there's so much production behind songs. Like, it can all just be done on a computer. So I think that novelty of having to make your own music is down to a bit. It irks, like, me, who talk about trying to find new performers, and I'm a guy who likes the old music, man, the classic rock, people who wrote their own songs, performed their own songs. And that's why, for me, like, Drake's just never going to be anywhere near the greatest entertainer in Canadian history. He might be the most popular, but he'll never be the greatest.
And bro, to be honest, I thought we'd be going more back and forth, but I appreciate that is your response, because I think that's legitimate.
We're meant to be hosts.
I know. But it's just true. We're meant to be the shows of Meanwhile Canada. We're just being so polite to each other. But if that's your only argument against what I was saying, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think he's good live. He's got some catchy songs for sure. I've come over. I've crossed the dark side a little bit. But I don't think he's good live. And if he doesn't write his own songs and he's not producing his own songs, like, what the fuck's he doing other than just being a puppet? So.
Oh, okay. I'll say this too, though. I know I kind of avoided the question about the percentage or whatnot. I'm not saying like 50% of the guy's songs are written. I guarantee this dude writes 80% of his songs. I guarantee it, bro. 85%. Maybe more. I think him getting caught having a ghostwriter in a genre like rap, that's where it really offends people. And I understand that, because rap is it's one of those extremely sentimental genres of music. Yeah. And it comes straight from the heart, it comes straight from the struggle. So I understand that and why people would, you know, frown upon Drake's not going to say accomplishments, but just in general, question the authenticity. I get that. But again, coming from me, since I started really appreciating music, I've understood that not every hit song that I hear is written by the fucking artist. I learned that at an early age, and I just thought that's the way that music kind of was. I mean, let's go back to someone like Rihanna. Rihanna, one of my favorite songs from Rihanna, song called Higher off her last project from like 4 or 5 years ago. She didn't write that. I knew it. I didn't give a fuck, but she performed it well, and I'm going to respect you on that. You got a piece of work, and you have to perform it, and you can do it. It's cool, but like I said, I understand where you're coming from too. Do you got anyone throwing this debate? I mean, we'll have this debate throughout the rest of the series. Like we gonna be bringing up all these Canadian entertainers that have just done amazing things.
Yeah, man. I'm wondering if I should tease mine for next week or if I should just throw it out right now.
Throw it out right now.
I mean, I'm going in a completely different direction, but to me, the greatest Canadian performer of all time is Rush. Can I count a band? Does a band count? I'm counting Rush. Rush, you know, is what? Easily greatest Canadian performance of all time.
You know what, bro? How about we do this? I'm glad you said Rush. I'm going to listen to Rush for the rest of the week, and you just go off because you're not the only one that said that. And Rush, yeah. Rush is one of those provoking bands, polarizing bands. People have their takes on them, definitely, too. They're so great that in some people's eyes, they're hated, you know? They don't even fuck with them at all. At all, bro.
Yeah.
Some people fucking hate Rush, but a lot of people fucking love Rush. Yo, this may sound offensive, but I don't know shit about Rush. But I know some shit about Nickelback. I know some shit about Nickelback. Is there a comparison to be made there? Or is that offensive?
I mean, they're both in the rock and roll genre. I think it might end there. And they're Canadian, I guess.
Yo, wasn't Nickelback great? Okay, well, you know what? We'll save Nickelback. This is what we'll do. We're going to get Chad Kroeger on a fucking episode of Meemaw in Canada.
Yeah, he lives in the area, man. We'll go track him down.
100%. Okay, that was the first episode of Meanwhile in Canada. Pretty much gave you the landscape of how our nation acts.
And the goods of this country, except for Drake and, you know, Crossies in Nova Scotia.
Man, oh man. Remember to go watch the Netflix show, Dirty Money. Go search up the Maple Syrup Heist. I didn't want to spill the beans. I really didn't. Oh man, what a weird story. What a Canadian story, man. That's how we're gonna start things off. You know? Who knows what else we're gonna find out about this nation, Trevor? Who knows?
Gonna be a wild ride, man. Hope you guys all enjoy the ride with us. Guys and gals, come learn about one of the greatest countries on earth, the best and worst of it, and everything in between. And thanks for listening to the first episode here on Meanwhile in Canada.
Straight up. Go check out the rest of the programs on the Post It Up Network. Go check out postitup.ca and go find the network wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, maple syrup on the titties, yes. Maple syrup downstairs. I don't recommend it, but if y'all want to play some games, because it'll taste nice. I get the thought process behind it. In the moment, sometimes you make bad decisions, but that's a risk, bro. That's a risk. I'm talking like you guys are waxing each other off at some point based on how sticky it is down there. So use maple syrup with some... Just be safe, yo.
Yeah, don't be pouring it down the cooch, the butthole, or the dick hole. Just licking all the areas around that, okay?
In the butt. Could you imagine that shit? That would suck, yo. Okay, Meanwhile, Canada. Peace.